Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everybody. Good morning to you. Good evening to you, whatever time it is in your corner of the world. This is, in fact, the Andy and Amanda Show. Say it. Show. The Andy and Amanda Show. Brought to you. Oh, I hear Amanda. Live from Hollywood, California. And in the UK, we have Amanda Love. Hi, I'm Andy Kimball, your co-host for the next hour on a discussion of whatever we discuss. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm. How do you like that, apples?
How do you like that? So if you don't like it, then get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
And thank you for reminding me that you're my co-host, because I forget sometimes.
Yeah. You know?
That's just being it's the online marriage, you know, when you're married for so long, you forget a lot of things, right?
You know what I thought we would do? I thought we would this might be the first time ever. I don't know. We have to look into it. I thought we would actually, since we got married, kind of eloped, you know, and all that stuff, you know, I thought we'd actually have an online wedding ceremony. We'd invite guests and so forth. We'd have a wedding ceremony actually do the whole ceremony, make it official.
Wow.
An internet wedding.
Wow. Can you imagine that? The publicity that would draw.
Solemnly swear to uphold the uphold the law. No, that would be the president. But we should make Europe dependent on us.
How you doing, Kimball? All good?
Yeah, I mean, it's great, man. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was lovely. Absolutely lovely. Been enjoying the sunshine. The heat is a bit crazy for us right now. 88 degrees here in the UK. I know that's like nothing for you guys, really, because you get higher temperatures than that. But for the UK, we're kind of
all the time
sweating our butts off right now, because we haven't got AC and things like that over here. We have in offices and things, but not in our homes, so...
You don't have air conditioning? Oh, my God.
No.
It's that hot. Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. So, sitting in front of our fans, holding our tops up.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to cool off.
Yeah, I remember the days of not having, you know, growing up in a house without air as a kid, and then we got air conditioning. It was like, oh, my, holy smokes.
Wow.
Yep. I remember, we got air conditioning I was a youngster. I was little. But, you know, initially we didn't have air, but we finally got air, and I don't think I've ever been without it since. Because,
for me,
it's not just the air conditioning; it's the humidified air. You know, even if it's, let's say, 72 outside or 75, and it's really humid. Like I don't like that thick humid. You know, I can take the heat, but it's that humidity. And when you have that air conditioning, even if the air conditioning temperature is set for the same as the outside air temperature, it feels so much better to step into that room without all that humidity. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But, weekend surely went by way too fast.
Of course.
But from that, I don't
Yours
remember.
Yours is good,
it.
Then.
I think. I don't really remember.
There was a weekend.
There was a weekend.
Couldn't tell you what happened.
I have no idea. We had a Friday show, which was great. We had Dr. Raymond Anderson on Friday show. And folks, if you didn't hear that yet, the podcast, you've got to tune into the Andy and Amanda show on Friday. That would be the 16th, I think it was, of July. Yes. And play that podcast, because what an empowering individual, what an enlightened individual. We had a great time having him on the show, and we're going to have him back again. And if you need to know more about him, again, just a little plug for Raymond Anderson. It's RaymondAnderson.com. You can learn all about that guy. And he's quite a dude. Quite a dude. We'll leave it there.
He is.
Back on it.
Amazing guy.
Yep. Amazing guy. That was a fun show. But I remember that. I'm trying to think what happened after that show. I don't recall.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It's a blur.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You know, that's kind of scary, because if I sit and think about it, what happened after that show, I probably couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if I got and when I got a drink. I couldn't tell you if I went out. That's scary.
You know, you and I are like the same, you know, weird.
Huh.
Yeah. I know what I did do.
What was that? Judging by that laugh, I wonder.
It was really hard.
Yes, the conversation on Friday was that riveting.
It was that good. Yeah, you know, but, you know, what I want to bring up today, you know, we have a whole week ahead of us on the Andy Mander show here, and thank you for joining us, everybody. If you're on Blog Talk Radio now, listening live, you can join the show by dialing us here in our studios, both in the UK and the USA at the same time, by calling 515-605-9888, and that will get you into our show and get you on our program. And we'd love to hear what's on your mind. What are you thinking about? What are your thoughts of the day? How are you getting along in the world, wherever you are? If you're calling internationally, of course, you can dial 1+515-605-9888, and you can also join the show online by sending us an email at andyandamandashow@gmail.com, and let us know you want to join, and we'll get you in that way. Just make sure you have a headset and so forth, so you can talk to us on the internet.
Absolutely.
Anyway, one thing I did here, Amanda, which gets me, you know, just I guess it keeps the juices running. is these conservative media talk show hosts, like here in the U.S., and I'm sure you have them there too. I don't know the names. You probably do there. Here we have Tucker Carlson. We have Dennis Prager. We have Irv Levin. No, Mark Levin, I guess his name is. We have Larry Elder, who decided he's going to run for governor of California. Good luck. He won't go anywhere. And they get on the air and tell such a one-sided half the context truth. In other words, they take things out of context. They hear something, they cut it off, and they talk about without talking about the whole story and analyzing what is and why what is. And if they did, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But they go on, they spew these lies and untruths, and their self-righteousness and rah-rah America. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be rah-rah America or any country you live in. You know, you should be proud of where you live. But we can also discuss issues, and we can discuss what's happened and what's going on in division of a population in terms of their morality and their political views and their ideologies and, you know, where they stand in social issues. I hear some of these people talk, and I stay engaged because I like to hear what they say, and listening to why they have to say what they say, and you don't hear a whole lot of that. But I know we have typically on Blog Talk Radio, and these two don't comprehensively go hand in hand. They go hand in hand partially, and that is the religious and vigilist. Is that individualistic and evangelistic? That's, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
spit it out, Andy. It is Monday morning. I will get there. I promise you. Right. And Trump's America. I'll just say that. And the America that Trump, I don't say kind of put us in this formed? In this arena, you know, where we weren't before. You know, we all have various political ideologies and views and positions that we like to live our lives by and like to think the way we all behave and the way we are and the way we like to see other people. And when we and sometimes political officials get elected that we are in favor of that are like-minded to what our lives are and what we believe. And sometimes you get political folks that are elected that aren't. And you say, you know,
this is really hard.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, life goes on.
Man, listen carefully. Stand in front of a mirror, bring yourself to a full erection, and you're going to see that your penis looks as if it is actually larger than it really is. So no more worries about is my penis large enough to satisfy her. Good luck.
See, now, wait a minute. Is that a rear view mirror? Or a normal mirror.
but life. Thank you, Dr. Ruth. We always like her commentary. We appreciate it. Anyway, what we're talking about? Oh yeah, life goes on, and we've all, and this pendulum swings back and forth as to how the world's going to turn one way, but how it functions is a whole other story. But in the past, we've all been on the other side of who's in office, and then we're on the side of who's in office, and we go back and forth, and things happen, and when things don't go our way politically, you know, life goes on, and we say, okay, well, next time around, and things might happen that we don't necessarily agree with, but we're all kind of, okay, we're in this together. Then you get this guy named Donald Trump who gets in office somehow, and put this country, the United States of America, and in fact, in many aspects, many parts of the world, in a tailspin, and just creates such hatred and such divisionism and such, you know, chaos. And you know, I don't think this country in America has ever been so divided since the Civil War. I really don't. And he's responsible for this. And he's responsible for an insurrection on our own democracy on January 6th. This one guy. And we're still seeing, we're still hearing the conversation. Trump lost the election. He lost the election, period. You know, our democracy spoke, he lost. And he spewed, you know, how are we going to beat this from anymore? He lost. He began the lie that said it was stolen. He began that lie way before the election because he knew he wasn't going to win. So he had he's a horrible loser. He's a very sore loser. And maintain the conversation that it was stolen. Even before the election ever happened, it was stolen, according to him. But somewhere inside him,
yes,
for this to be true, I'm just going to assume. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Somewhere inside him, he knows he lost the election. As a matter of fact, I remember him saying that one time we lost. About a month ago or so, I forget what interview it was. Some of you might remember. I remember he came out and said, hey, you know, we lost the election and blah, blah, whatever it was. And whoa, he actually said that. And he did. He did say that.
Wow.
So I'm assuming somewhere inside, yeah, he said it. Somewhere inside, he must know that he lost the election. But the conversation and the lie that it was stolen, and we got to recount and recount, and you've got all these Republican secretaries of state who officiated and validated recounts and the election and certifications of the electoral college votes in each state. Republicans certified them and said, yeah, he lost. And there's still this group of people who facilitate this lie, and then these Republican conservative commentators get on the air, you know, and dominate airwaves. And if they didn't, then advertisers wouldn't be supporting them, you know, because advertisers wouldn't be making money by doing so. They'd spend the money elsewhere. So, and that's what that's what creates livelihoods for people who are on the radio, except us. And
yeah. True,
because nobody listens to what we have to say. You know what I mean?
I know.
No respect.
You snotty little bastard.
Yeah. No respect. But anyway, our number here again is 515-605-9888. And I thought it would be kind of fun if maybe later in the show we try to call Dennis Prager, who's on Conservative Talk Radio right now, and we connected our show with his show.
That would be pretty cool.
And asked him.
I like it.
You know what I mean?
You what? You what?
And we asked him, like, why?
Oh,
why
yeah.
is it? Why is it that you? And he's got this university. First of all, you can't legally use the name university. I don't believe anybody has ever stopped him. Unless there's this whole process to be declared to be a university. And the Trump University had an issue with this. Of course, they were sued, and he had to settle for $25 million because he scammed everybody who participated. But anyway, that's another story. But you can't legally use the name university. That, you know, you put the name university next to you, such as Yale, Harvard, Cambridge, Hofstra, Pitt, you know, Pennsylvania State University, University of Southern California, blah, 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 onward and so forth. Those titles of university are there for a reason, and you just can't say, hey, I'm starting a university. But Dennis Prager started Prager University with all these. It's a free online university. Check it out, folks. It's on YouTube. Go to PragerU, Prager University, and check out all his videos. And, hey, some of them you might agree with. Some of the videos might be pretty cool. That's okay, you know. But he has started this, and he's requesting donations. It's free, but, you know, you can donate as well. You can also donate to us. We don't have our Patreon up yet. We keep talking about that, do we? We got to start doing that. If Dennis Prager can do it, goddamn it, we can too.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so... And one conversation I heard Dennis Prager have, which is something I thought we would address on this show too, to get your view, my view, and our callers' views, and people who want to pop us an email at andyandamandashow@gmail.com, let us know your views. How would you define morality?
Oh, that's a question.
Mm. Mm-hmm. If you remember a few months back, we had a whole I think we dedicated the better part of a week to what wisdom is and where does wisdom come from. Do you remember that conversation we had a little while ago? I think it was in the spring or some, you know, a couple months ago.
I remember
talked
that
about
conversation.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
How would you define morality? When somebody says, that, you know, moral or immoral, what is morality? Where does it come from? What is it?
Well, I mean, that's... quite looking into the abyss, isn't it, really? Because, you know, everybody will argue that it's just based upon a set of values that's been instilled in us from parents and society and whatever, but that doesn't necessarily make them right. So that's what we've been conditioned to have so that we function as a society and a family dynamic and so on. But then you've got the deeper part of that, of our own morality, in the sense that what we feel underneath it all to be right and wrong. Like, if you weren't taught that hitting somebody, well, it's not always seen as a bad thing, I guess, but if you weren't told to not hit somebody for no reason, and you know, you did it, would you know you after that it felt wrong to do it from the person's reaction and the outcome of it? Would that make you feel bad about yourself? Therefore, would that then teach you it was wrong? Or would you feel it was wrong to do it initially and not do it at all? I think sometimes we don't find out what that morality is for us until we actually try something. And then we get that inner sense, say, this doesn't feel good. Why is this? And then we just like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that again because I don't want to feel that way again.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I hear you. I somebody can interpret a definition of moral character as being something that one would work on oneself, conquering one's issues, demons, controlling one's own appetites in their life, fighting what you would interpret as being a flawed nature of oneself, right? That's what I think. What, in a way, you might be saying, or correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, it's right. And so,
yeah.
But we say what is moral? Moral is it's a loaded question, and people sometimes will refer to, I have to refer to the Bible for morality and for that wisdom, rather than,
of course,
you know what I mean? So, but yeah. here's here's what I, and I thought about this long and hard. I gave this a lot of thought. This is something I did over the weekend.
Oh, you know, hey, you remembered. Yeah. Woohoo.
I remembered one. Yeah. This is actually, I started thinking about this after our show Friday, because this is something I want to pick up with Dr. Anderson next time he joins us. Remind me.
Yeah.
That's how this came up. Now I'm recalling. Mm. Okay. Here. Yeah. I'm getting there. You know, it's Monday morning here. You know, this is the morning show here. This is the oh, by the way, real quick. Don't lose that thought, Andy. I won't. Monday we go on at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and Wednesday and Friday we're on at noon. That would be noon East Coast time and 5 p.m. in UK. It's 5 o'clock somewhere show in UK. That's only on Monday. And on Wednesday and Friday, we're on at 8 p.m. in the UK. We're on at 3 p.m. on the East Coast, and we're on at noon in the West Coast. Just want to say that real quick for those that are listening to our podcast. They want to join us live on blogtalkradio.com and dial that number, 515-605-9888. That's how you do it. All right, getting back to what I was saying. So we had Dr. Anderson on, and I want to bring this up with him again, because what I interpret morality as being, and we look at what is moral. Well, who sets the standard of what is moral? We look at what is moral is pertains not to oneself at all. I think what we look at morality as being is what is good for society as a group.
Right.
What is the majority of us in this world, not just the country, and the world think that killing another human being is immoral and wrong?
Mm.
That's what's good for the people. What is good for us? What is good for our population, for the majority of our population?
Yeah.
Because
there
are some people who live immoral lives. And it has nothing to do with the Bible. As you know, I'm an atheist, right? But that doesn't mean that I would never in the world, because my Bible was penned by human hand. It just didn't drop out of the sky. You know, some invisible man wrote it and handed it to us, right? The Bible was penned by somebody. Somebody had the thought in their brain, and the thoughts came from their brain to their hand to whatever they wrote with back then. I don't know, chisel, whatever it was. It wasn't a big pen, I don't think. I don't think it had pens. I don't know, whatever it was. It wrote with something, but somebody had to think it and write it. Right.
Yeah.
So the Bible was written by human hands. So I can't go to the Bible and say, well, I'll go there to figure out what is moral, because we as a species wrote that document, that big book that sort of people rely on for their lives. Right. It was we wrote it ourselves. We wrote it. We also wrote Moby Dick. They call me Ishmael.
Yeah.
Remember that? Moby Dick. Yeah. We wrote Moby Dick. And look at the philosophers, the early Greek philosophers, the Platos, the Socrates, and so forth, and the writings. And many of them were atheists. Many of them were not religious people, and they looked at the human spirit, the human good, the human career, the effectiveness of being a person, of being a good person. What dictates that? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I think it's a great question.
So it's worthy of a discussion, I think. And
yes.
And I think because I like to know what do our listeners, what do other people, when they think of, well, that's moral or immoral, you can make conclusions. Well, that's really immoral. Well, who dictated what immoral is? Our society did. We as a people did. And therefore, can we not conclude that something is moral is good for the group of people? It is not, and never was. It never was working on oneself, because the only thing we can do for oneself, we're never alone. There's no such thing as being alone in this world. Even if you're the only person in the world, there's a two-ness. It's your connectivity with your environment. You're standing on the earth. Therefore, there's always two. You can never be alone. I guess you could be if you're floating around in space, but then if you're floating around in space, there's stars. They might be millions of light years away, but you're not alone. There's other things occupying that space, right?
Yeah.
So is there such a thing as, you know, that's a whole other conversation itself. I don't want to get too deep here because I don't want to, but anyway,
too much for Monday morning, right?
It is Monday morning. It is Monday morning. So it's just kind of an interesting, to live there and just figure, okay, is, you know, one's character. How do we, you know, if we let's go back into morality is dictated by a God. Let's suppose there was a God. Okay, and morality is dictated by some great power. You know, how that great power told us what is moral. Well, you know, this world was here for 4.8 billion years. The dinosaurs existed here for 60 million years. Did that same power tell the dinosaurs what was moral, what was not?
Yeah.
You know, this world has been here for 4.8 billion years. We've only been bipedal as far back as we can tell for about 4 million years. Our species as it exists today is only a couple hundred thousand years old. Dinosaurs lived here for 60 million years. Who told them what was moral?
Another good thing,
right?
Good thing or good question is compassion. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yes.
How did it
yes.
come back? Because, you know, the thing, you think about cavemen, okay? Let's go back to the cavemen. Mm-hmm. And and women. Let's not forget those.
Mm-hmm. No, just men. Let's call them. No,
okay,
men.
Let's
That's
just
good.
Talk. Okay, Amit, it makes you feel better. So cavemen.
No.
You know, they had to do what they did, right, to survive. Kill, whatever. Did they have any sense of compassion in them when they were doing that? That'd be interesting to think about and go deeper with. Where does it come from? What is compassion for people? You know, I mean, we got the general idea of what compassion is, but that's another good thing to go deep with. That'd be a great thing to ask Raymond as well, you know?
It would be.
Yeah. And does that tie in with morals? Because, you know, the two can go hand in hand.
You know, very, very, very astute point. Very, very good point. That's you know, compassion. Yeah, let's think about it. Yeah. You know, I mean, let's just illustrate that. Somebody does something, somebody steals a pocketbook from an old lady. Do you have compassion for the person who steals the pocketbook or compassion for the old lady he stole it from? She doesn't have to be old, by the way. I'm just saying old lady. She could be a young lady. She could be young, beautiful. She could be gorgeous.
Whatever you like to picture at this point, audience. Yeah.
She could be really. I'm picturing this really. You know, I'd like to think of a really. You know, somebody really. Really
that
pretty,
view
you know.
Is the right one.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, President Nixon. Yes. Yeah. At least somebody agrees with me. Anyway. So do we have compassion for the criminal who stole the purse, or do we have compassion for the lady who was stolen from? So we have compassion for the woman who that person stole it from. And therefore we can say.
Could it have to be one or the other, though? Could it be both?
Yeah, but can we say that the person who stole the purse or pocketbook did something that was immoral? And we have compassion for the person who it was stolen from, and we have more moral conscience and the compassion.
Yeah.
Are they tied together? I think you have an amazing point here when we think about this. I think compassion and morality, you know, if we dig deeper into morality, we dig deeper into morality.
Yes.
Can't we say, I'm just kind of just playing this out, seeing how I feel about this. You know, I'm going to talk out loud. I'm thinking out loud. Bear with me. So when we think about compassion and having compassion, can't we also say, and I'm putting this out there, can't we also say that the compassion is also predicated upon a moral obligation for what we're feeling compassionate about?
Exactly. It could be that. It could be that. I mean, if you have an argument with, I don't know, your partner, family member, friend, it doesn't matter who it is, and you feel bad because you see their reaction, you feel that moment of compassion, right? But does that mean that because morally you shouldn't have had that argument with them for whatever reason it was? I don't know. I guess that's a fine line as well. It's like a minefield with morality and what areas that comes into. I mean, that's probably a poor example of choosing that. But, I mean, is it the response you have afterwards that triggers that compassion because of what you've been taught? Or is it something that's already there? I mean, if you look at children, very, very small children that are learning their way in this world, quite often kids will hit out. Because, you know, they're learning where the boundaries are. They haven't been taught a lot of morals and do's and don'ts at this point. And they're trying to see what they can get away with, where their parents are going to stop and say, hey, stop doing that. you know? So where's the compassion then? You don't see it within that child. Is it something that develops over time because you've been taught this is what compassion is and this is what morals are, and, you know? So I think when you look into children, is always a prime example of these things because they're so raw and bare.
Yes. 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 You are very you're an enlightened person there too. I told you that before.
No, yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. Good to hear you. And I tell you, I love your accent. And I tell you,
that?
I just think you're
wait. Hold up. Wait a minute.
All right. I'm getting. Yeah, okay.
Well, I was going to reply to that, but what the hell? Let's move on to something else.
Yeah, I'm just going to try at this point.
I have a question for you. Okay. In the UK, do you utilize the term fake news? Fake news.
Okay, yeah, well, that gets thrown around quite a bit, yeah.
And where did that come from in the UK?
Probably our neighbors or something.
maybe
all the gossiping that goes on. Yeah. Seriously, I don't know. I think it's something that, you know, has been grown and, you know, organically grown more so online than anything else. I mean, let's face it, we're all pretty much plugged in to the World Wide Web. So, you know, a lot of these terms have come up on social media and then they get shared on in the media and things like that. So I think it's something that, you know, we've heard about mainly on social media. But then, you know, how far do you want to go back with this? If you go back to the times of the war with all the propaganda that was going on with Hitler and things like that, so that propaganda, in a sense, was fake news, although it just wasn't labeled fake news. It was labeled propaganda. So it does go back quite a distance in time to where that came from.
But let me ask you this. Yeah, was the reporting of what was going on a lie? I mean, was it actually reported or was it just rumored? Did people report in the news, using back then newspapers, radio, whatever, news and tell lies? Or these rumors that just went around that never really materialized, never really surfaced anywhere. They're just rumors and people assuming this is what happened, this is what's going on. But any journalist actually writes and said, this is what's happening, and outright lied about it and said, this isn't actually, you know, because it wasn't happening at all. It was a lie. It was an untruth. But let's put this in all the newspapers and get people thinking that it is, this is what is the truth.
Well, that's a good question. And I wouldn't like to say that I know all the answers. However, I believe that would have gone on. Oh, thanks.
I think you do know all the answers.
You boosted my confidence. Thank you, darling. I mean, I'm sure it went on because I think it was both. It was rumored and it was reported. Someone somewhere was like, okay, I've heard this rumor. I'm going to jump on this and report it. It's too exciting not to report. And then they got done for it. You know, someone somewhere going back has done that. So, yeah, I would say it's both. Definitely.
Yeah. But the term fake news is not, you know, propaganda. I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
But fake news, the actual quote unquote term fake news. I think that I might be wrong, but I think that was actually initiated, the whole expression. Oh, it's fake news. Fake news. It's all fake news. It was a Trump thing here, you know, the past 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, you know.
It certainly is all over the internet since Trump has been in power. There's no doubt about it. That jumps to my mind immediately. As soon as you put fake news in your mind and you think, oh, Trump, the two go hand in hand. Because that's all you heard
from
him.
And when you listen about fake news, during his campaign, he said, if Biden wins, our suburbs are going to be overrun with BLM. Black Lives Projects, you're not going to have suburbs anymore. There will be no more suburban communities anymore. There will be riots, demonstrations. Cities are going to burn down. And you look at January 6th. Who's rioting? What flags are carrying? Whose name was on those flags? And then he goes ahead and continues to promote this lie about, you know, who we are and America is going down the tube so fast and he, the election was stolen from him. And he believes, or some of his disciples believe, that he's actually going to be reinstated, that he's going to come back into the White House sometime in August, and he'll assume the presidency again. There's no mechanism for that. It can't happen no matter what. It cannot happen. It's impossible for it to happen. But there are people who you know, put that out there and actually believe it. Trump's coming back in. They wear this T-shirt with Trump's picture on it. It says, "I'll be back."
Yeah.
In the meantime, he's probably going to be indicted criminally.
No. Well, I should be walking around with a T-shirt with Arnold Schwarzenegger on with "I'll be back." I think that's my
better. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I wouldn't
but, you know, talking
happen.
About morality, holy crap. And some people define, and I guess it comes where you can say this is immoral or not. I don't think this is immoral. I think it's wrong. I don't think it's immoral. Hey, you know, we need to talk about, is wrong immoral? Let's talk about that. But anyway, we'll come back to that. But going back to Trump just for a second. God, what else do we talk about on the show, eh? Going back to Trump just for a second. We may need to change the name of the show. Is that, you know, Trump married wife number one, had an affair with wife number two, married, divorced number one, married number two, was with wife number two, had an affair with wife number three, divorced number two, married wife number three, and has had several affairs with wife number three, including paying off, you know, with porn stars and paid them, you know, significant amounts of money to keep quiet during his presidential campaign. If somebody is married and they have an affair, is that immoral or is it just wrong?
Mm. Wow. Wow. That's a good question.
This is a thinking out loud show today. I'm not making a conclusion. I'm just thinking. You're hearing my mind work. All right. That's all we're doing right now. Is what I said earlier about morality is really defined when it comes right down to it. It's not who we are and what we do as individuals, but what is good for what is the greater good for society, for the majority of the people, not individuals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have affairs.
Yes.
Do we say, Oh, that's immoral. Or do we say that idiot? We say, "Oh my God, that poor girl, that poor man." You know, women have affairs. My God, you know, it might come, you know, from what I've heard, I wouldn't be surprised if more women have affairs than men. But anyway, would we say, "Oh, that's immoral"? I'm just thinking out loud, I don't think that's immoral. I think I feel bad for the other person if they don't have an open relationship. I think it's wrong. But is it immoral? I can't make it society. And the reason why I can't really feel in my gut that it's immoral is because it happens in hundreds of thousands of times a day.
Talk
about morality being the good, what's good for the greater people. Well, a hell of a lot of people have had affairs, and I'm not just talking about in marriages. I'm talking about in relationships, you know, significant others, you know, that you have this trust in this thing. And I used to think, you know, I grew up in, you know, family that, you know, that's just something you don't do. Not because it wasn't moral. It's out of respect and love and not wanting to hurt the person you're with and so forth. And then as I got older, I'm not making a conclusion here. I mean, I don't want to be judged because I'm a good guy. I like to think I'm a good guy. I might not be, but I like to think I am. But anyway,
people will judge you anyway, darling, but don't worry about
it,
you know?
They will, but what I'm thinking is this, and again, I'm not admitting to or not admitting to anything because I'm pretty conservative when it comes right down to it, but is that if somebody has sex outside of a relationship, growing up as a teen in my 20s and so forth, you know, oh my God, how can they do that? Oh my God, you know, this incredible thing that one shares of that intimate relationship of even, you know, being naked together, you know, whatever. I mean, that's just an intimacy that you just share between the two of you. And then I started thinking as I got older and older and older and dumber or wiser, it depends how you look at it. I started thinking, you know what? What's sex? All right.
Yeah.
Get over it. I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
wonderful women around.
Yeah, just sing and dance and be merry. you know what I mean? So
yeah,
but I it's funny, and it's nothing to do with my personal behavior in my life. It's nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's just kind of maybe getting older and getting wiser and looking at the world and looking at society and thinking about morality and the majority of the people, what's good for the greater good, the greater amount of people in this world, and is just the sex act itself. That okay, yes, it's a violation of the understanding you had together. Yes, it is. It's a violation. It's a gross violation. And depending on some relationships, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah,
well,
you know what I mean?
You know,
yeah.
If you think about it on that level, Andy, there's not much morality that goes on in the animal kingdom when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And are we too different from animals just because we're humans and we have this supposedly higher consciousness than animals that makes us, you know, top of the chain? Does it mean that just because we are more self-aware and more conscious, does that mean that we are different and separated from the animal kingdom when it comes to morality and sex? I mean, I know for me it would feel wrong, completely wrong, to go and have sex with another person being in a relationship already. So I wouldn't feel good about myself, and I'm the kind of person that would, you know, punish myself a lot for it. You know, where does that punishment come from? Does that come from always wanting to do the right thing? And that can come from deeper issues from childhood. Could it be that my parents instilled these morals in me that put the fear in me that I shouldn't be doing these things? You know, so, yeah, I mean, that's always a good thing to look at as well, is the animal kingdom. And a lot of people do. I mean, but then you've got, you know, there's probably people listening to this show right now saying, oh, well, it's nothing to do with the animal kingdom, for goodness sake. It's all about how we respond and what we do and, you know, what we take upon ourselves instead of using the animal kingdom as an excuse. Because I guess people could see that as using it as an excuse, right, to justify not wanting to do things right morally. I think we search for answers sometimes to justify certain things, but that's not what we're doing on the show, because obviously we're not about to say, oh, this is morally right and this is not morally right. We're going to go out and do these things after the show. No.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, but let's look at this for a sec. Let's take, you know, again, using Donald Trump as an example of a fine definition of what's morality.
Well, you know.
I heard this guy, Dennis Prager. I guess maybe we should try calling him. Dennis Prager, I remember when Trump was president. I don't really listen to him regularly, folks. Don't get the wrong idea here. You know, I think he's a very – one thing he did say a while ago, and you should check him out too, because I have a lot of respect for this guy. He said, look, these are my views according to me and my interpretation of the world as I grew up and how I perceive society. And it doesn't mean it's everybody's. And there's these other commentators that preach like this, you know, that this is the way it is and this is right and everybody else is wrong and they're corrupt and they don't know what they're doing and they're driving, you know. Where Dennis Prager will say, you know, Dennis Prager said everything the left touches, they destroy. And that is so absurd. That is so ridiculously absurd. You know, his thing is, I don't want to keep harping on Dennis Prager, but we will try to call him in just a minute. But, you know, his thing is, you know, morality is governed by the Bible, and that was what is humanism and developing your own character. You know, then you need to get married and make a good family, and that's what builds society, is a good family. And don't go to college because then you become corrupt and you might even change your gender ID if you go to college. That might happen to you. So parents, don't send your kids to school because if they're boys, they might come out girls, you know.
Wow.
And don't, and don't go to college because you learn, because what happens when you go to college, you learn to analytically and critically think. You learn to think in college. Don't do that.
Well, that's
only
so dangerous.
Only live the world the way Dennis Prager sees it. Only live the world in this little box. We're going to govern how you should think, and we can't enable you to take fine classes in amazing literature where you're analyzing great writings and great novels and great authors and what were they thinking, what was their life like, and what does that mean to us, going back and looking at these amazing philosophers, you know, and learning and then beginning to open up your world and your horizon and think about society differently than when you came in. Whatever that piece of paper says when you get out, it's the way we think and interpret ourselves, to interpret our environment, interpret what's around us. That is what, and also the world of living in college life, whether in a sorority or whatever, and the whole thing of being with people of different ideas that come from different backgrounds, and we gain and become a more a more balanced, more established, brighter population of humanity when you go to university. Even when you get out, you say, I got a history degree. What the hell am I going to do with it? I got to go work, sell shoes, you know, whatever. I got to go to, you know, I can't do a history degree. Well, that means you got to go get a master's and teach or whatever, you know, or do a, get a master's and something gives you a piece of paper that you can use to get a job. But anyway, the thing is, don't go to college. Don't go to college.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to major in something like where you get a piece of paper when you get out. Don't do it.
I think he's the kind of person that would lead us down the path of, you know, that have you ever seen that movie with Christian Bale, where I forget the title of it, where it's based in the future where you're not allowed to feel emotion and you're studied and tracked to see if you feel emotion, and you can be eliminated if you start to feel emotion. And you've got to take a pill every day to turn off the emotion in us so that we don't cause chaos within society and the world. When I saw that movie, it shook me to the core. But it's kind of like, that's the kind of society that I think ultimately governments could end up leading us to. And that's, you know, I'm not being over dramatic, but if they're saying things like, you mustn't do these things, you mustn't go to college because you're going to have an open mind and you're going to think for yourself, ultimately education and even family dynamics will be forced to change so that we're raised to be better citizens and more, you know, keeping in line with what they want from us and not doing so much the wrong thing, instilling their own morals in us, you know?
Yeah. As you were. No, you're right. I've got a friend who has a couple of kids, and this friend is, to this day, a Trumpy. I mean, big time. I can't believe it myself. Just a person I've known for a very, very long time. And was at one time a Democrat, and somehow, I don't know, came from a Republican family, brothers and sisters, whatever, all Republican. And somehow, you know, married somebody who's very, very conservative and ended up being a Trump fan and Republican even before Trump, which is okay because I've voted and supported Republicans. I'm not saying being Republican is bad here. Believe me, I'm independent. Yeah. You know, I've voted for Republicans, folks. Anyway, but hell, I ain't no Trumpy. Anyway, you know, 17% of the Republican Party left the Republican Party due to Trump, and that's a whole other conversation too. But anyway, so here's the point here. So a couple of kids grew up in this, you know, the kids grew up in this conservative, you know, very conservative thing. We're obviously conservative Republicans growing up because they didn't know any better. Yeah. One kid goes to college and guess what? Becomes an avid supporter of Bernie Sanders.
Right.
The other kid, no. The other kid stayed, you know, where can I go? Where can I live amongst conservatives and Republicans? But the other kid, avid supporter of Bernie Sanders. Grew up in this, and you know, went to college. Both the kids, you know, went to college, but went to college. Yeah. Entered college as a conservative Republican, left college as a Bernie Sanders fan.
Right.
Now say, oh, that's what they teach him in college. See, that's what they teach him. No, he became enlightened is what he did. He became empowered and enlightened. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Some people go to college as Republicans. I'm using the wrong word, Republicans, wrong word. Conservative-minded, Republicans is the wrong word. I don't want to categorize and put Republicans in a box, and it sounds like I'm thinking that they're bad because they're not. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying. You know, a conservative-minded, politically thinking, Trumpy kind of, you know, and some people go to college that way and they leave college that way.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's, you know, whatever. Does getting married and making a good family, is that – where does that tie into what we need to do to be perceived as being moral and righteous and doing the right thing? What's your take on that?
I guess everybody reaches for religion, don't they? Because, you know, it all tends to go back to that, because it was all like a set of rules as such that, you know, moral rules that, you know, you should get married. You shouldn't have sex before you get married. You should raise children once you're married. And that creates the beautiful, righteous dynamic that, you know, is seen as good and right and the natural order of things. In today's world, moving away from religion, I think it's just something that everybody wants to do because everybody's doing it. We don't look back so much on religion, unless you are religious, of course, then that's different. But, you know, we don't tend to reach for those things. Everybody's doing it. So therefore, we all grew up with the dream of that's what we should be doing, right? Because our parents have done it, you know, your friends have done it. It just seems like the right thing to do. Go out, get married, have children, have a family, and that should be the happy and right life for you.
Yeah, that's right, and that'll be and that's what you're doing. You get graduate school, you get a job, you get a significant other, and you raise kids, you get a house with a white picket fence, a collie, and a Chevy station wagon.
Yeah.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
Exactly. That's the dream. Yeah. This is what you want. This is what you should have. This is what society is saying you should have. But, you know, I mean, there's plenty of people out there who don't want that. They want to find the thrill of life. They want to discover who they are. They want to go out and see the world. They want to do all these things and get lost in cultures and learn about everything and not be tied down in relationships or having their own home. They want to live freely off the land. They want to do all these things to discover what really is there in the world and the universe and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, they get pigeonholed as well for being a type of person that doesn't fit in with society because they want those things, which is a shame that we judge people that way. Because society is like, hey, well, you haven't gone out and got married, bought yourself a home, got yourself in debt, got this high-end job and got this expensive car, and you're not doing all these things that everybody else is trying to race to achieve and battle each other over with it, you know, where's the morals in that? And so, you know, there's these free spirits that just think, no, I don't want to be tied down to any of that. I want to see what it's like to be me, asking these questions, doing these things to see what it's really all about. And I admire those people who go out and do that. And you don't get tied down into the, you know, the normality, I say that loosely, of life that we've all been raised to see and chase.
I don't, and also, you know, we can talk about raising a family in this in traditional sense would mean man and woman and kids. And we know that it's okay for man and man or woman and woman to also have kids. That's okay. Why shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Some people, that's immoral. Well, that's immoral. No, it ain't. Who's to judge that? You know, we talk about what is the greater good for the greater people. Imagine this, as we know when most generically speaking, just, you know, generically speaking.
Yeah.
Most, and I don't have any data to support this, but I think I'm right. Most folks who have kids are husband and wife and they have kids.
Yeah.
I think, right? Now, whether they stay married and so forth is a whole other situation. Let's say, assuming initially they are married and they have kids. What happens to our population? What happens to our population if that changed and a huge amount of people, men and women and women, started gaining almost a majority of how we raised a family? What does that do, if anything, to society? If suddenly, instead of a man and wife having kids, suddenly one out of three or two out of three children were raised by same-sex couples. Does that have any impact on society whatsoever?
Well, that's a good question, but I think we have that natural biological need to reproduce as well. If it's been scientifically proved that if the conditions are right, humans will reproduce. We're not too different from the animal kingdom. So they know when it's the right time to reproduce and keep their species going.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the same for humans. I don't think there would ever be a danger of us not reproducing enough. Let's face it. I mean, as a society now, we're way oversexed. Everybody wants sex every moment of the day. You know, it's everywhere you look. Of course.
These people are sick.
Yeah, that's one opinion.
They should open up.
Yeah. Saucy. I think, you know. See, that breeding instinct in us would always be there. If humanity is in danger, then humanity will breed to keep us going. That's in us to do that.
But because we're oversexed,
it's becoming too far at the moment, overpopulated.
All right. But we know that same-sex couples can have kids.
In
vitro or however they do it, however that happens. And, you know, I'll put myself out there. You know, I love kids. Anybody, you know, what's the father? I'm here. And, you know, anyway. Who's oversexed?
Wow.
And, you know, you got to remember, you know, really.
He's a smart guy, but he's a great guy. He's a great man.
See?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know? Who wouldn't want that to be your father? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah, okay, let's sex is sex and whatever, and you can have protected sex and never have kids and whatever else. In terms of raising kids, forget about how the kids got there. Just in terms of raising kids, what happens to society if you know, hypothetically, if 1 out of 3 or 2 out of 3 or 1.8 out of 3 children were raised by same-sex couples, as opposed to the normal thing where you have a husband and wife and they have the kids, and again, whether they stay married or not, who knows, but the husband and wife have kids and the kids grow up with the father and the mother of opposite sex, what would happen as society, as we gain more and more acceptance? I mean, it was never not accepted, just people just look the other way, I think, and I could be wrong, or maybe I'm too liberal, but anyway, it's okay for girls to be with girls and guys to be with guys and vice versa, and whatever they do is up to them, not up to me. I'm not going to judge, you know, but let's just say that, you know, a guy and a guy or girl and a girl, they loved each other the same way a guy and a girl would. And they said, we want a family. Should we as a society say, well, you can't do that? Well, what if that happened more and more and more and more and more, to the extent that more and more and more kids were brought up by those same-sex couples? Does that have an impact on society at all? Does that have an impact? Next on the Andy Demander Show. Oh.
Yes. That's a good question.
We only have a couple minutes left, but we certainly are opening up a lot of lists to talk, you know, a lot of interesting things to ponder. And when we're discussing, you know, folks, we're having conversation. We have fun. You know, it doesn't mean anything. We're not making anything mean anything, by the way, folks. We're just having discussion, having a fun time, and throwing some thoughts and ideas around and not concluding anything and just putting things out there to hopefully get you to think and also join our conversation, or at least if you're listening to the podcast, join the conversation in your head. But you can do that, you know, on our show when we're live at 515-605-9888. Wednesday is our next show. We'll be live at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. in the U.K. On the Andy and Amanda Show. One thing I want to do real quick, because we only have a couple minutes left. Let's just call Dennis Prager real quick. Yeah, even though we can't really do anything at this point. I'm sorry it took so long, but let's give it a little while. Let's see what happens if we do call. One ringy dingy. Okay. Here we go. Let's see what happens. Maybe we'll even call the producer and say, hey, yeah, we got to wrap this. We just got the warning. It's going to kick us off the air here soon. They might answer the show.
Uh-oh.
We may have to do it on Wednesday. They might actually answer. I can't. We don't have time.
True.
Okay,
no.
I'm going to hang up. All right.
Okay.
So we'll pick that up on the – it's not letting me hang up. Uh-oh, we might be stuck.
Uh-oh.
Shit.
Uh-oh.
Hang up. I can't believe it. I can't hang up.
Are you sweating?
Damn.
Oh, boy.
We can't get off the Dennis Prager Show. Well, anyway, Amanda, we have about a minute left. This has been a great conversation. We got some ideas that we'll pick up on Wednesday. Hang up. I thought I disconnected. Here we go. Cancel. It won't let me. Here we go. I figured out what button to push. All right.
Okay.
I'm new at this.
30 seconds left.
Okay. Let's wrap up. This is a great Monday show. A lot of discussion. You know, we haven't had like this philosophical kind of show in a while. It's kind of cool to do. Wednesday, I don't know if our expert, what's his name? Our expert investor, coach, day trader, might be joining us. Lee Van Dusen on Wednesday. We'll talk finances, day trading, the AMC, see where the stocks sit, see what Tesla's doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think on Wednesday again, we'll see. But we're going to have some more fun, more conversation, more laughs on Wednesday here on the Andy Demando Show. Take us home.
Absolutely. Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, on behalf of myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, thank you so much for joining us for another show. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. We had fun. It was deep. Join us again on Wednesday with Lee, and we'll see you then. Keep smiling.
Take care, folks. All the best. See you Wednesday now.
Bye.